This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Welcome to Campus Voices, where each week we take a look at key issues that affect students, the UK campus, and the Lexington community. I'm your host, Penny Schmitz, and today we'll be talking about a new living and learning program coming to UK's campus called CATS for Recovery. CATS for Recovery is a residential component of support for students in recovery from substance use disorders and their allies. UK also has a collegiate recovery community program as well, which is supported by a nationwide initiative. The purpose of the CATS for Recovery LLP and the CRC is to cultivate an environment where students are encouraged to focus on goals that inspire a healthy lifestyle, substance-free habits, self-empowerment, and high academic, professional, and personal achievements. To begin our program with some background information, reporter Abdullah Habish spoke with the Office of Residence Life Assistant Director, Marcia Shrout, to get a better idea of what a living and learning program is, and more specifically, the main mission of CATS for Recovery LLP and CRC.
The longest-standing effort is to encourage campus housing to first-year students. One of the ways they do this is to recognize student academic and social needs through living and learning programs. LLPs are meant to integrate academic and residential environment. A new LLP is coming to UK's campus in fall 2017 is called the CATS for Recovery Program. LLPs provide exceptional experience for first-year students, which offers specialized programming and interaction with supportive community who help students reach success.
The Living Learning Program is a way that we group students together that have similar interests or academic majors. So they live together in the residence halls, maybe on a particular floor or a wing or multiple floors for our larger ones, but they engage in the same type of specialized activities for their interest, and they'll also be grouped together to have classes that coordinate with their interest as well.
Collegiate recovery communities and recovery residence halls are part of a national initiative that supports collegiate recovery. The Association of Recovery in Higher Education administers these recovery communities. The organization provides resources and the community connection to support the student in their recovery process.
Kelsey, who is our main academic partner for this new community, CATS for Recovery, she is really the heartbeat behind bringing it to UK's campus. She's done a lot of research about how that partnership can really work with residence halls, living learning programs. And so the relationship is that's the larger organization. So for students who may not want to live on campus, that's still a way that they can connect and come together. And the living learning program is going to be one outlet of that for those students who choose to live on campus and have that type of environment to live in.
This type of recovery program is not unfamiliar to other college campuses. UK's Prevention Coordinator Kelsey Otten traveled to other collegiate recovery programs across the nation to explore the idea of bringing a recovery community to UK campus.
She had done research. Multiple other universities have this type of program. I'm not sure about the specific ones, but I know that she actually visited several schools to see how their programs work so that she could adopt different things from that to bring to our campus.
UK has a growing interest in providing support to students in recovery. UK staff and the student will work together to bring a successful CATS for Recovery LLP to UK in the fall.
The only full-time person at this point is Kelsey, who's officially the academic partner for the group. She is building a lot of relationships across campus with different academic units that have an interest in recovery. As I mentioned, we'll have the RAs, so the student leaders that live on the floor, and then those folks that will come in for specialized programming. So they won't necessarily be paid through this LLP, but lots of folks give of their time, resources, programming expertise to come in and do events with the students.
For WRFL, I am Abdullah Habish.
To further examine the importance of CATS for Recovery program on UK's campus, we have with us today two graduate students who work firsthand on the CATS for Recovery program project. First, couple and family therapy master's student at UK, Alec Ellswick. Ellswick will attend the doctoral school in the fall of 2017 and has firsthand experience in recovery. Ellswick is also the co-founder of Voices of Hope, mobilizing the mission to support recovery.
Hey, Vinny.
Second is graduate student Sierra Perry. Perry is a graduate assistant with the UK Collegiate Recovery Community and also for the Cats for Recovery Living and Learning Program. Hey. And thirdly, we have Academic Program Coordinator for Residence Life, Mel Lesh.
Hi.
Thank you all for joining us tonight. So Mel, I'll go ahead and get started with you. So first, a big question I have is, where is the residence hall going to be located?
So Cats for Recovery will actually be in our one of our 2005 halls called Ingalls. It's a smaller residence hall. We have a variety of different types of residence halls, and so it houses about 160 students total. And it's suite style, which means that there's two people that share a room, and then another two people share a room, and those four people share a bathroom.
Okay, I see. And will there have to be any modifications that will need to be made to provide the living and learning space for the Cats for Recovery program?
No modifications to the building because they'll be housed on a section of one of the floors. And so programming and things that happen will actually happen in that building and in other spaces that already exist.
Okay. And then what will the visitation policy look like? I know we have two styles. One is a 24/7, one is a 24 weekend. Which one would this follow?
This one will probably follow the 24/7 unless the community, because every year students have their hall governments and they're able to kind of make decisions on if they should change the visitation policy. But it should be 24/7 as long as you follow check-in procedures.
Okay. And then as far as training staff goes, we heard earlier the talk about RAs and resident advisors. So will there be any additional training to the RAs who will work in this hall compared to others?
That's really up to the community. We've actually just hired a peer mentor for this community. So I can definitely see additional training that the collegiate recovery community does, just so that people are aware of specific situations that people in recovery might deal with. But we don't have that set up as quite yet.
Okay. And then just for our audience who might not be aware of the terminology in Res Life, what is a peer mentor?
So we have two types of student leaders that work in the halls. One of them is a resident advisor, and those are people who live in the residence hall. They help enforce policy. They help make connections on campus, and they're generally there for the whole residence hall. Now, peer mentors are hired as students for a specific community, and so we've hired one peer mentor for Cats for Recovery for next year, and they'll work directly with the community, and they'll have specific students in the community that are their mentees, and they're focused on that subject area or that interest area, so they have specialized knowledge in that area.
Okay, I understand. And so this next question can be for any of you, whoever wants to take it on. So who makes up the admissions decisions committee for this program? And then also following that, how will the committee decide which students should be in the Cats for Recovery program?
I can take that one because I deal with admissions. So in Residence Life, we actually are kind of the clearinghouse for all 15 living learning programs for each year. So we've actually been taking applications for the living learning program since September. And as students fill out their housing application, they can signify if they want to be in a living learning program. Any student can select living learning programs. Some of them are restricted to first-year students. Cats for Recovery is actually open for anyone. So it can be returners, it can be first-year students. And as they select their preferences, they can select up to three living learning programs. Then those are actually sent to each of the communities. The communities look at their application, and on a weekly basis, they let us know if they'd like to accept people into the program or not. And then they let us know that, and then me and several other people in our department actually go into their application and send them either an acceptance or move on to the next preference if they're not able to make an offer. So we've been sending out applications and acceptances for months now.
Okay. And then going off of that, are there any additional requirements for the Cats for Recovery LLP that other LLPs don't have?
You mean requirements before they can, like when they apply, or do you mean requirements like after they're in it?
Requirements as to if they can be in it or not.
Cats for Recovery has asked for like an essay question where they kind of describe, you know, why they're interested in it. And so I'm not sure the exact process for the admissions that the community makes, but I know that they kind of vet those essays to make sure that, you know, someone's seems like they're in their hearts in the right place, because for me, this could be a delicate community in some ways. And so it's important that you're putting people together that are going to support each other. Other than that, there aren't any specific requirements that I'm aware of, unless you all have anything to add.
We handle each applicant on like a case-by-case basis. Each student is required to have at least 6 months in recovery or be a dedicated ally to students in recovery.
Okay, and so you just said that you have to be 6 months sober or an ally. So do you have to be referred to the program, or how would they prove that they've been sober for 6 months?
Again, it's on a case-by-case basis.
Okay. And so, will the Cats for Recovery cost more than any other housing opportunities on campus?
No, we actually, one of the great things about our Living Learning programs is that there's no additional cost for participating in Living Learning programs. And so it's the cost of living in that residence hall. So since our 2005 residence hall, it's a little bit less than some of the other newer, larger residence halls. And so it's just the price of living in that actual residence hall.
And on top of that, will this the CATS, will it receive any additional funding from any outside sources?
Yeah, our campus partner will be receiving funding from them, which is the Campus Rec and Wellness Department. And we're receiving funding for them to assist with programs and events that will occur throughout the year.
Okay, and so with this program, is it a one-year commitment? So if somebody comes in the program, they're admitted, do they have to stay in the program for the entire year?
All students are applying for like a one-year entry, and it's for the 2017-2018 academic year. But if they ever want to opt out, they have that option. But we do encourage students to stay through the whole year.
And will there be any incentives for students to stay in the program?
We'll have different events and programs that happen throughout the year, so we're hoping that'll be some type of incentive to stay.
And there's additionally to that, once they've gone through the community, we hire peer mentors generally out of the people who've been through the community before, and that comes with sometimes either class experience or a stipend or things of that nature. So hopefully this will be a great leadership opportunity for some people who've gone through the community for the next year. So I can see that maybe being an option too.
And so while living in the LLP, will the students in the program who are 6 months sober be professionally or personally assessed at any time during the program?
There's going to be no assessment involved because we're not a treatment center.
Okay, and going off of that, can you explain the difference a little bit between a commitment to live a sober lifestyle and an outpatient treatment center?
An outpatient treatment center is usually for those seeking recovery. They haven't yet achieved recovery. Whereas we're a community that supports those who are already in recovery.
Okay, I understand that's simple. So like you were talking about just a second ago about the programming for the LLP. So are the programs going to be mandatory, or are they going to be optional, or is it going to be a mix of both?
It's going to be a mix of both. There's going to be a mandatory connected program that we're going to require students to attend, but there's also going to be an optional monthly meeting, and we're also going to encourage students to attend the weekly recovery meetings that are put on by the collegiate recovery community.
Okay, and will you tell me a little bit about the connected program?
We're still in the process of doing that. We're going to really work through it and plan it over the summer.
Okay, sounds good. So as far as the programming goes, just one more question. Will there be any family-related program for the families of the students in the CATS for Recovery program, or is it just more geared towards the students?
We definitely want to get the students connected to their families. That's also something we're still working on. But, yeah, we're definitely going to have something during the parent and family weekend that occurs on campus.
Okay, and this question can be for either of you. What challenges do you see coming up with the CATS for Recovery program already in progress, or is there anything that you're looking for and it looks like it's going to be a challenge? Are we more excited?
Oh, we're definitely more excited. Since this is the first year, we're not exactly sure what to expect. If anything does happen, we plan to handle it on a case-by-case basis, but our main goal is to reduce the stigma that's attached to recovery and provide support to the students who are in recovery on campus.
And just like with any living learning program, the first year that you do it, you're not exactly sure how it's going to go. Living on campus in a residence hall is its own experience, as I'm sure most of our listeners know. And so I think being open to that, having this kind of be a pilot, looking at being intentional and making sure that the community has the support that it needs is probably the biggest part. But overall, I think we're really excited. And I've actually heard some communication from people in the community who aren't connected to UK almost at all talk about how they're excited about this community. So definitely more excitement, I think, than trepidation.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, to find out more about the programs for Cats for Recovery offers, reporter Cammie Moore talked with UK Prevention Coordinator for the new Living and Learning Program, Kelsey Auden.
Living and Learning Program, it involves an application process. Once accepted, the program includes dorm arrangements with other students in that particular program, customized course planning, and tailored course content. Each Living and Learning Program has their own set of qualifications for interested applicants.
So the Cats for Recovery Living Learning Program will be open to students who are already in recovery from substance use disorders, and then it's also open to allies, and these are students that are supportive of other students who are in recovery. They're supportive of living an alcohol and drug-free lifestyle. It's going to be a very strictly substance-free living-learning program, and the requirements for the LLP are that students have at least 6 months of recovery.
Mental health is often accompanied with substance abuse. Recovery from substance abuse can include group and individual counseling as well as regular evaluations conducted on the recovery patient.
So the Living Learning Program is basically creating a support system for students on campus. We will not be providing any direct treatment or services like that, but we will be connecting students with other resources on campus that do address those issues, such as the Counseling Center or University Health Services or the Behavioral Health component of UHS.
Oftentimes, people who are recovering from substance abuse do so with the help of medication treatment. There are three fragments of medication-assisted recovery: one, medication; two, counseling; and three, support. This type of treatment addresses withdrawal, craving, and relapse prevention.
So students who are in recovery that are going to apply to live in the Cats for Recovery Living Learning Program need to practice an abstinence-based recovery pathway, just because medication-assisted treatment would be difficult to monitor within a residence hall. That being said, we do definitely support students who are utilizing those harm reduction strategies, and we also have a program on campus called the Collegiate Recovery Community, and we have weekly recovery meetings. Those happen every Tuesday at 7 p.m., and students who are utilizing medication-assisted treatment for recovery are always welcome to join us at those meetings.
For WRFL, I'm Cammie Moore.
Now, Alex, at the beginning of the show, I introduced you and I said that you had firsthand experience with recovery. So if you don't mind, will you tell us a little bit about your addiction and recovery experience?
Yeah, I usually tell people that my addiction began with a genetic predisposition and a prescription from my doctor. That's kind of why I object to people talking about addiction as a matter of choice, because I didn't abuse prescription medication from the outset. I just took it as it was prescribed by my doctor, and I got addicted to pain medication, and then that moved to heroin, and long story short, it became just abject misery, and I was suicidal and all that. But I'd much rather tell you about recovery and tell you that just it's a long, difficult process, but it's the most rewarding thing I've ever done in my life.
And so, first, thank you for sharing.
Sure.
Do you think that there are any substance temptations that students find specifically in a college atmosphere?
Oh my goodness, yeah. I think there's a whole bunch of factors that conflate on a college campus. One is like being 18 to 25 years old. It's like developmentally appropriate to be experimenting, to be to have like an underdeveloped prefrontal cortex, to be taking risks, and then the fact that we sort of have a culture on college campuses that's marked by binge drinking and experimenting with drugs and alcohol. So I know I returned from treatment multiple times back to Center College in Danville, and relapsed over and over again because I was kind of thrust back into that environment of using and drinking.
And going off of that, so what would you say is the importance of students having a program like CATS for Recovery? And if it was available to you, would you have taken it up?
Yeah, it's huge. I can imagine it would have been very helpful at Center for me. I think part of it is there are lots of people who are in recovery who are our age, but unfortunately, because of stigma, they're silent, and because they're silent, they're not visible. So I felt very much alone as a person who had just turned 21 years old, but I couldn't drink alcohol, and I was choosing not to drink alcohol and do drugs. So I felt very isolated, and I think that this measure of support is what makes it so useful and beneficial.
And some may say that joining this program and saying publicly that you are a recovering addict, some might fear that you would be ostracized in the UK community. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, I think there's always that possibility because there's still a great deal of stigma surrounding substance use disorders. So I respect anybody's decision to maintain their anonymity. But I know for me, there's been something really freeing about being open and honest and sharing my experience and lending support and then having other people lend their support. Because really, you can't get support from someone unless you divulge that, you know, you've got a problem.
And did either of you have anything else to add to that as far as the importance of this program?
I think there can be this idea that maybe it will be stigmatizing, but there's so many different types of students on UK's campus. And so for me, I could see this as a point that people kind of rally around. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you don't know until you try.
Mm-hmm. Sharon, do you have anything to add?
I just think that having this on campus will allow students to openly celebrate their recovery, which I think is something that is really needed.
And then going back to you, Alex, or any of you, what can friends and family do to support somebody in recovery for substance use?
So the first thing that we usually tell, like in our nonprofit work, when we're working with families of addicted loved ones, is to take care of themselves. A lot of times there's such a focus and such a panic surrounding the person who has a substance use disorder. We like to tell them that you can't pour from an empty pitcher. So a lot of times that means seeking out support groups. There's a companion program, a 12-step program called Al-Anon that we suggest for a lot of family members to enable them to draw boundaries. And then the other thing that I would suggest, just as a person who's experienced a heroin addiction, is to abandon your judgment and abandon that stigma, and to try to help someone from, instead of trying to help them from a one-up position and pitying them, just having compassion, and because that judgment is really not helpful.
That's powerful. And Alex, do you think that if you didn't go through that experience that you would still be in the line of work that you are?
No, absolutely not. I was studying for the LSAT and preparing to go to law school when I got addicted, and so it's a blessing in disguise, and that's also part of the reason why I have a lot more grace for people who are sort of unaware of the nature of addiction or who subscribe to some of these misconceptions, because they're probably all misconceived notions that I held before, you know, I got into reading the research and that sort of thing.
Okay, and now we'll open back up to the floor. So some say that it's important for all students, but specifically students in recovery, to engage in hobbies and activities like group activities to assist in the development of non-substance abuse friendships. So will CATS for Recovery connect the students with the programs or the clubs in or around campus to encourage involvement?
I think all of our living learning programs do really well about connecting students to resources. And something that we're lucky to have at UK is over 500 student organizations. We have, you know, musical groups, dance groups, community service options, things like that. And so our RAs and our peer mentors are openly encouraged to try to connect people to different resources. And so I don't see how CATS for Recovery would be any different than that.
And then for students who are not engaged in a recovery program, how will UK, or more specifically the CATS for Recovery program, connect those students to encourage a treatment lifestyle?
Well, the community is for allies and for people that are in recovery. And so I think you know, being aware of it, bringing awareness to other people who are maybe struggling or maybe not struggling, is kind of the first step. And the fact that we intentionally put our living learning programs in buildings and have other students who are not in the programs in those buildings also. And so they live in a building with other people who aren't exactly dealing with the same thing. And I think that can be powerful because there's this larger community that is a little bit different. And so, I can see a lot of connections being made within the community and outside of the community, too.
Okay. And then, Sierra, did you have anything to add to that?
No, I think she covered it really well.
And so some people as well, they might say that there might be a danger of students with substance abuse disorders hanging around other students without substance use disorders. Mel, you talked a little bit about this. Did you want to expand on that, if students were scared that there would be addicts living in their hall? How would you respond to them?
I guess for me, we have a really highly trained student and professional staff, both peer mentors, RAs, academic partners, resident directors that have master's degrees. And for me, students in general struggle with lots of types of things. I don't see how someone who has been living in recovery and has chosen to live with other people in recovery in a substance-free space is going to kind of influence somebody else in that way. Additionally, we don't allow alcohol in our residence halls, period, and other types of abusive substances. And so the student code of conduct and things like that are used to help educate students about issues. And so I can see that being something that's helpful with it also.
Okay, and then another question. What could be a benefit of a student living in the LLP rather than going through a recovery program outside of the community?
I think I can speak to this a little bit just from experience. One of the things that's difficult about going to treatment is oftentimes people go to treatment out of state or out of their hometown, and then they do very well, and it's a structured environment, and then they leave treatment, and they return to the place where sort of their substance use disorder began, and they're back in that unhealthy environment. So one thing that could be beneficial, and I want to be clear, I'm not recommending that anyone go to the CRC rather than go to treatment. They're intended for completely different purposes. But at the point that someone has gone to treatment and has addressed sort of the acute stages of their addiction, to have recovery support already in a community where they'll be living is really, really important.
And at the end of the day, guys, what do you hope this program achieves?
My goal for the CRC and the LLP is just to help reduce the stigma attached to substance use disorders in recovery, and to celebrate recovery and the individuals who are in recovery, and to provide support for the people who are in recovery and, like, help them get all the resources that they need.
Alex, what about you?
I would second what Sears said about combating stigma surrounding substance use disorders. And I guess I would just hope that it gives somebody the opportunity to enjoy the benefits of long-term recovery that I've enjoyed. Because I tell people all the time, there's nothing special about me that I've been able to recover. I just enjoyed access to a great many resources. And I think this is one of those essential resources that if someone can tap into, they can get to break off some of what I've got too. It's amazing.
And Mel, what about you?
I think all of our living learning programs are intentionally created to help students of all forms make connections in the university. And so for me, this is another way that students can make connections and hopefully persist and stay at UK where they might not have been able to do so before. And so my hope is just that students who are struggling get the resources that they need.
Well, tonight we've been talking about the new living and learning program coming to UK's campus called the CATS for Recovery program. The program is part of a nationwide campus initiative to provide collegiate recovery communities to college students across the country. These recovery communities are aimed at cultivating an environment where students are encouraged to focus on a healthy lifestyle, substance-free habits, self-empowerment, and high academic, professional, and personal achievements. And I'd like to thank our guests this evening. First, couple and family therapist, Master Student UK, and co-founder of Voices of Hope, Alec Ellswick.
Thanks for having me.
And then graduate assistant with the UK Collegiate Recovery Community and CATS for Recovery Living and Learning Program, Sierra Perry.
Oh, thank you.
And then also academic program coordinator for Residence Life, Mel Lesh.
Thank you.
Thank you all for joining us tonight. I enjoyed having each and every one of you on air. Thank you for joining us for tonight's Campus Voices. Stay tuned for more commercial-free programming on 88.1 WRFL-FM, Lexington, Kentucky. I'm Penny Schmitz.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.FM and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.FM/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.